This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, a program that will help you feel better, especially if you are suffering migraine headaches. Dr. Pamela Fisher is with us from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. And for the first segment of the program, we're going to talk about migraines. We're going to talk about headaches and some of the ways that these are coming about and some ideas on how to reduce those problems. And then we'll open up the phone lines during the second segment, and you can call in with any questions dealing with our topic today. First of all, Dr. Singer, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Bart.
Good to have you here today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Fall feels like it's in the air today.
It does. It's really nice, isn't it? Nice change.
It really is. Now, does the change in season as we maybe get away from pollen and stuff like that, does that reduce problems with headaches?
Well, sometimes it does. Some of my patients, and even myself, since I have migraines, do seem to be very sensitive to barometric pressure changes, which is a common trigger for migraines.
Does everyone who has a migraine headache know that it's a migraine? I mean, what is the difference between that and a headache?
Well, that's a really good question. I get it really often. And it's a real problem. About 30 million people in the United States actually have migraines. And I think there are many, many more people who are actually undiagnosed. And it's more than just a bad headache. For example, for specifically migraines, there are specific criteria for a diagnosis of a migraine. The International Headache Society gives these criteria. There have to be 5 attacks, lasting 4 to 72 hours, pain that's one-sided, throbbing, pain that increases with physical activity, either light or sound sensitivity. And then to really further simplify it, if you have light sensitivity with a headache, nausea with a headache, decreased ability to function with a headache, any two of these three, you're highly likely to have migraines. But go ahead.
I was just going to ask, you said each headache would last 4 to 72 hours.
They can.
Wow. That has to be very painful.
Patients who have the severe migraines can be absolutely miserable.
Well, that would be the telling difference, I would think, right there. I mean, most headaches don't last, 30 minutes or so. But 4 hours to 72 hours.
And those really bad ones are the ones that take people to the emergency room or to the doctor's office. They just can't stand those headaches.
Is diet part of the reasons you have migraine, or what causes them?
Well, what we call triggers of headaches can be many different things. I mentioned earlier barometric pressure. Then there are common food triggers. Many people don't know that the things that they eat can actually cause headaches or be a trigger for headaches. Red wine, aged cheese can be a common trigger for headaches. And many people don't know that an hour after they eat these things, suddenly they have this really big, bad, awful headache, that can actually be the cause of it.
Now, would it be the two of those used together, or individually could you?
Individually. And then there's something called what we call stackable triggers. Mm-hmm. The more triggers that you have, perhaps the more likely you are to trigger a headache. For example, if we had a barometric pressure change, you hadn't had much sleep, and you also had some red wine, you're tripling the opportunity to trigger a migraine.
And red wine and cheese, I mean, you find that at
lot
of gatherings. Yeah,
sure, absolutely.
And I guess you could have the barometer changing, too.
Well, and unfortunately, many people think it's very common, I've got, quote, a sinus headache, because the area where migraines are affected are, quote, right in the sinuses. And many people, when there's a barometric pressure change, feel that pressure in their heads, and they think if they have a sinus headache, but actually the barometric pressure change is a common trigger for a migraine headache. You asked earlier, what's the difference between a migraine and a just a, quote, regular headache? Mm-hmm. Well, a regular headache, or what we consider to be a stress headache or a tension headache, is very different in that a migraine will be typically one-sided, whereas a tension or stress headache typically is a tight headache surrounding the head like a hat that's too tight. And there's no nausea. There's no light sensitivity, there's no sound sensitivity, and generally a stress headache will last a few minutes or maybe a few days, and its causes are different. There's a stressor like, poor posture, eye strain, or perhaps some stressors at home or work that's causing it.
Mm-hmm. So these are things, if you reduce some of these stressors, can you reduce your risk of having a migraine, if you're prone to having a migraine?
Certainly, if you know what your triggers are, you can certainly avoid them. Now, we certainly can't avoid the barometric pressure, but we certainly can avoid foods that cause migraine. Regular activities, such as getting a normal sleep schedule. We know that good exercise will help decrease that likelihood as well. And then, unfortunately, sometimes people have to have medication to get rid of the headaches.
Now, you said if you know your stressors. Are your stressors different from somebody else's stressors? Does everyone have their own unique group of stressors?
Absolutely, and that's such a good question. You have to, one of the things that I ask my patients to do is to begin to diary their headaches and try to associate the trigger of their migraines. And if you begin to diary your headaches, you can begin to associate what's the initiating factor, what caused that particular headache. For me, it's lack of sleep, not a good sleep schedule, barometric pressure changes. Another bad one for many patients is strong odors or perfumes. Even in my office, I have a note that says, please don't wear lotions or strong smelling perfumes, because for many people, including myself, perfume is a very strong trigger for many people with migraines.
Now, if you have these migraine headaches, do they lead to other problems? I mean, and do they, if left untreated, if somebody just says, well, it's just a burden I have, if you leave those untreated, do they grow into something worse?
Well, one of the biggest problems that we have with migraines is they can just lead to poor work performance and time off of work, and that's a huge problem for a lot of patients, is that they just can't perform well at work, they can't concentrate. But in terms of my biggest concern among my patients certainly is that, do I have a brain tumor? Is my head going to explode? Am I going to have an aneurysm? And no, there's no evidence of that. There have been some studies, patients are concerned, is there a relationship between Alzheimer's, vascular disease? There have been some questionable links to that, but so far there's been no specific evidence of that as far as I know.
Now, you mentioned earlier about getting enough sleep, and I think everybody always asks the question, how much is enough sleep? I mean, and you hear these probably wives' tales that as you get older, you probably don't need as much sleep. What's the real truth?
Well, that's a good question that I get a lot as well. And everybody is truly different. And some people get by and do well with 6 to 7 hours of sleep, and some people need 8 or 9 hours of sleep. What you have to find is, what is your natural sleep need? And as we get older, we don't sleep as well. That is true, but some people still need that amount of sleep. Some people even have problems if they get too much sleep. Some people try to catch up on the weekend, and then they find if they oversleep, they'll also get what we call a letdown migraine. They're trying to catch up and they oversleep on the weekend, they get a headache then. So the most important thing is to try to get the same amount of sleep, find out what that Goldilocks amount of sleep, that just right amount of sleep is, and then try to maintain that. Going to bed the same time every night, getting up the same time every morning, and trying to maintain that same number of hours of sleep every night.
So at this point, we're saying you need to find out what your stressors are. Whether it's wine or cheese or barometric pressure or whatever it might be, just keep a diary, and when you start getting that migraine headache, maybe you can put two and two together, figure out what that is, get enough sleep, get enough exercise.
Correct.
And anything else we should add?
Well, those are all good things, Bart. The one thing that has been the the question over time is that it, are those the causes of migraine? And those are not the causes. Those are the triggers. What's been very interesting is that migraines are actually genetic. And that's been the new finding and the kind of the big explosive thing. And so if you have a family member who has migraine headaches, chances are somewhere between 70 to 80% that if you have a family member, that if you have headaches, they're probably migraine. And so I always ask that question. Do you have a family member who has headaches or, quote, has sinus headaches? Those are probably migraine. And so that's when we begin to really work on their headaches in terms of being migraine and treating them as migraines. People used to think, well, my eating causes my migraines. No, it's not your eating. That triggers them, but it's a genetic problem, and people who have migraines have them because someone else in their family has them. So you have to begin to look at it from that direction.
Can you treat that?
Absolutely, you can treat that. Migraines are interesting. There's several different phases that you go through when you have a migraine, and this is what I think is so fascinating. There's something called a prodromal phase, and if you can be aware of your migraines in this phase, that's a good thing. Most people aren't aware of that. This can occur up to 48 hours before a migraine occurs. You can have some odd symptoms, odd food cravings, unusual fatigue, neck pain. You can have hyperirritability, mood changes, yawning for no reason. Another interesting phenomenon of migraine is something called an aura. Only about 15% of migraineurs have this. They'll see sparkly lights or a C-shaped piece of cracked glass in their peripheral vision. And then some people will even have neurologic symptoms. You may remember the news reporter who was trying to give a report on TV, and suddenly her words wouldn't come out. She started speaking in gibberish, and everyone thought she was having a stroke. Very young woman, she was actually having a migraine. So people can have weird symptoms. If you can jump on a migraine headache at that point and take medication at that point, then you can actually abort or stop a migraine headache. Migraines actually start in the central nervous system. There's a hyperexcitability point in the central nervous system. There's a release of some chemicals called neuropeptides. There are actually migraine-specific medications that stop the neuropeptide release at that point. If you can stop them at that point, then you can actually stop a migraine.
Where are the neuropeptides coming from? I mean, can you look at a gland and say that's the source of those?
Well, there's a deep in the central nervous system, there's a place called the caudate nucleus. We think they're coming from there. They climb down the trigeminal nerve, which is it's right over your face in the, quote, sinus area. And then as the neuropeptides continue to be released, it just kind of climbs all over your head and your brain, which is why people continue to get odd symptoms. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get something called, which is called allodynia, where you touch my head and it hurts. And they just kind of, people begin to hurt all over. Once that migraine continues to go, then they just hurt all over, down their back of their head, their scalp, their neck, their shoulders, even. People will continue to have pain. If you can stop the release of the neuropeptides, then actually the headache can actually be aborted.
Is science working on that now, stopping those neuropeptides?
Absolutely. There are seven different medications right now that are made specifically for stopping the neuropeptide release.
Do they have bad side effects?
They do, unfortunately, have some side effects. Some people will get palpitations. They may get burning in their nose or redness of their face. They may get clenching of their jaws. What I have noticed is that the earlier patients take the medication in the migraine process, the less likely they are to have a bad side effect. Unfortunately, once the headache has been allowed to go on for a long time, they're more likely to get a side effect. Now, that doesn't mean that the headache won't go away. That just means they may have a side effect as that battle is going on in their brain for that headache to go away.
Do people who are younger have as much of a problem with migraines, or is it something you get as you get older, or do you grow out of them? What's the story on that?
That's a really good question. Unfortunately, there are toddlers and children can have migraines as well. Now, their symptoms are a little different. Children may have abdominal migraines. They may have episodic vomiting. They can have vertigo or just dizziness. I remember in another practice, I had a child who was about 3, and he would just get dizzy, and he would run into walls, and his mother goes, "What is wrong with him?" I said, "I bet he's got a migraine." I sent him to a pediatric neurologist, and indeed he had migraines. As we get older, we have the more obvious signs of migraine, nausea, headache, light sensitivity. As we get older, typically, they do get better. or they can change. They become not quite so intense. As I have gotten older, my headaches have changed. I have more episodic tension headaches than migraine headaches. Though some neurologists will tell you there seems to be a continuum from tension headaches to migraines. Some people will start out with a typical tension headache, and then they'll go on to develop your typical migraine with a nausea. And many people can have mixed. They can have tension headaches, they can have migraine headaches, and then you're kind of stuck, okay, how do I treat this? So it can be very, very difficult sometimes to tell. That's why it's really important to involve your doctor. If you're not quite sure what you got, then go see your doctor so he can help you figure that out.
With so many types of diseases, you think about if you have early detection, maybe it can be nipped in the bud and the problem reduced. Is that true with migraines?
It is. Many people think, well, I just got a headache. If I could just take another BC powder, I'll be okay. And for the person who has a headache once a week or a couple of times a month, there's really nothing wrong with that. But the problem is for the people who continue to take, say, BC powders or another over-the-counter medication, they take them continually, then they get in trouble. They get what we call rebound headaches. The more medication they take, the worse off they are. I'm not picking on BC powders. I think they're fine. But it's really important to make sure you nail that diagnosis. And if you find you're having more headaches, then go see your doctor, because you actually can make your problem worse by taking too much of an over-the-counter medication.
So the problem now is for people to determine whether or not they have a migraine headache or just a headache. And then early intervention, so to speak, to resolve that problem is crucial. And we're going to continue the conversation. Dr. Pamela Singer is our guest from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. And when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. Do you have headaches? Maybe you don't know if it's a migraine or not. But have you had this for a while? And another question might be for you to ask yourself, do I have loved ones, family members who have had this type of painful headache as well? Call us, 893-1450. We'll be right back.
The Braves have been right here since 1981. This is Don Sutton, and you're listening to WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
My name is Frank Bowie. I work at Ford of Murfreesboro. I work in the service department. Been working on Fords for 26 years.
Hi, this is David Lee, general manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been part of the Ford family for almost 6 years now.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We continue to see building rush hour volume along Interstate 24, and it is starting to slow through Smyrna into Davidson County, so be careful out there on this Tuesday morning commute. Murfreesboro Road also very heavy with traffic through Smyrna and Laverne. Your points of access to the interstate very busy, especially Old Fort Parkway and South Church Street. Heads up, Hair Salon is barbers, hair designers, and colors for the entire family. 9 locations, sensibly priced for over 30 years. Go online, headsuphaircuttingsalon.com. I'm Charlie Sarney, and that's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high temperature of 87 degrees. Winds on the north, 5 to 10. for tonight, we'll see clear skies, temperatures dropping back towards 62 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 72.
Hello, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're conveniently located at 2230 Mercury Boulevard near the South Rutherford Boulevard. There's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
I worry I won't see your face. Light up again, even the best fall down sometime. Even the wrong words seem to run out of the doubt that fills my mind. But somehow find you and I collide.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 893-1450. This is a segment where you have an opportunity to sort of delve into your situation and talk with our doctor with us this morning, Dr. Pamela Singer from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, and we're talking about migraine headaches. If you think you have a migraine or if you know you have one, she might have some suggestions on ways to reduce some of that pain. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. You talk about changes in barometric pressure. And some of these smaller jet airplanes that seems like a lot of the big companies are switching to, I guess, to save gas. I used to never have problems flying. But in some of these smaller jets, when you land, man, it gets rough out there. Is that what a migraine feels like for the average person?
I think most people complain maybe the ear pressure, but that certainly could be.
Mm-hmm. That's not a sign of a migraine, is it? That you would be prone to having a migraine headache?
Well, certainly motion sickness is a sign of migraine headache, that's for sure, especially in the younger patient. Early in childhood, if children complain of motion sickness, that can certainly be a sign of migraine.
Let's go to the phones. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Pamela Singer. How are you today?
Just fine. When I just started having migraines. I didn't know they were migraines, because I get nauseated and just, like, sick. The third time I had one, we were on the way to the emergency room, but I made my husband turn around and just come back home. But can your neck be a trigger, like if your neck hurts? Because usually my neck hurts first before I started getting nauseated and stuff.
That's a common sign that you're actually beginning to have a migraine. I mentioned earlier that if you have neck pain a couple of days before you have a headache, that's what we call a prodrome. But neck pain can certainly be part of a migraine. Your neck is not a trigger for migraine. It's part of your whole migraine picture.
Okay. But what can you do if you know you're going to have one, what can you do to prevent one?
Well, if you're having migraines frequently, you may want to go see your doctor and talk to him about both medications to help prevent your headaches as well as medication to take to help stop the migraine in progress. But if you just started having them, what have you taken so far?
Just ibuprofen. I haven't been to the doctor to check on it. I just, you know, trying to do it at home because they only come every so often.
Mm-hmm.
I just turned 39, so they just started coming.
Yeah, that's about the age when they do start, actually. Ibuprofen is actually a good choice, and anti-inflammatories are very good medications to take for...
Because I'm not a medicine person.
Yeah, well, I completely understand that. A lot of my patients don't like taking medication, and I don't like it either. But sometimes that can be very helpful. But the main thing is, one thing you might want to start to do, a very simple thing, is to begin to diary your headaches and see if you can find out what is triggering your headaches. Your neck pain is not a trigger. It's actually part of your whole migraine. So try to find out what it is. Is it something you've eaten? Is it something you've done? Is it too little sleep, too much sleep? Those are the things to be looking for as a trigger. Then if ibuprofen's not working for you, you might try different anti-inflammatory, naproxen or Aleve is also naproxen. You could try taking that. But if that's not working for you, it might be time to go see your doctor.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Let me ask you before you hang up, how many, you said you're starting to have these. Are they pretty regular now?
Yes, I've had, when I first started, I didn't know what it was. My sister-in-law told me it was a migraine. And I said, oh, I ain't had no migraine. And so my neck, like I said, my neck always starts hurting. And then, like a day or two, I start just feeling nauseated, my stomach. Just, my husband come home and I say, take me to the emergency room, but we get on the way. And I don't like to go to the doctor or nothing, so I just turn around and come back home. I just want to get back in my bed and just sit there. Mm-hmm. And if you go to sleep, you'll wake up and sometimes you feel better.
How long of a period do they occur when they start?
How long?
How long do they happen?
Probably about 4 to 5 hours.
Ooh, wow.
And so they're very painful. And I'm not a pain person because I'm trying to be very strong. But when these come on, you just want to, nobody to touch you. You just want to be by yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of the symptoms, hyperirritability, and when you go to sleep, you get better. Those are all very classic symptoms of migraine. So if you're not getting better, you definitely will want to go see your physician to get some help.
Okay.
Those sound pretty debilitating.
Okay, thank you. You have a great day.
Good luck to you. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, that sounds so painful. I mean, your heart goes out to somebody like that.
It really does. And some of these people are just really debilitated. And I'm always amazed at the amount of pain people will put up with before they finally come in to see their physician and how many things they have tried or just, I'll just go to bed and it goes away. And then until the next time. And it's just amazing.
Does going to bed make it go away?
It frequently does. Many people will find if they can go to sleep, the headache will go away.
It sounds like it would be difficult to sleep if you're undergoing all that pain. I mean, that looks like that would keep you awake. But I guess you're able to go to sleep somehow?
Sometimes people can go to sleep. Sometimes they will take a Tylenol PM or something like that to help them go to sleep. And many times they can fall asleep and the headache will go away.
Let's go back to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. We're talking about headaches. We're talking about migraines. Dr. Pamela Singer is with us from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Singer. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I just thought I'd tell you about kind of my experience.
Okay.
My mother had headaches even when she was a child, just debilitating headaches, and then she had them as an adult. And as she got older, they stopped. I had them when I was a teenager and on up, and they would last some time for 2 or 3 days. But as I'm older now, I get the aura, but I don't get the headache. And I wonder if it has something to do with hormones.
What about that?
Well, certainly when women go through hormonal changes, they frequently will have headaches. It seems to be the fall in estrogen, certainly during the years when they're having their periods, that they will have more headaches. There is actually a condition called ophthalmologic migraine where you will just have the aura but not the headache. And we do think that changing in hormone levels can have something to do with that. You may be avoiding your triggers and not knowing it. But yes, you're right. We do think there's a change in hormones that probably has something to do with that.
Okay. I just never have a headache anymore. I haven't for years.
So. And I'm sure you feel blessed by that.
I feel very blessed. And used to, when the first time I ever had the aura, it scared me to death. I thought I was having a stroke or something. And then I found out that, you know, they started, I'm not sure, I was probably in my 30s, 40s, maybe,
yes.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
When I started getting the auras. But I had the headaches much longer than that before. But when it first started, it scared me. It was like a stroke because I got where I couldn't see. I could just see portions of mm-hmm. the, I was actually looking at the screen, and I could just see portions now. I can see portions of people's faces. And then I start getting the electrical looking, you know, those electrical looking things that come across.
It's very memorable, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Well, I'm glad they've stopped. I'm glad the headaches have stopped.
When you're out driving, have you ever had that problem?
I have not, but it's not so bad that I couldn't possibly drive. It's just, it's kind of hard to explain. You just see portions, you know, like somebody's mouth might be missing if you're looking at them, or their ear or something. You know, it's just really weird. But I think you could possibly drive. I haven't ever had one when I was driving, I don't think. So I don't know yet. I hope I don't.
Hope you don't, too. Well, okay. Hopefully that phase of it will fade away, too.
I would suggest if it happens, you should pull over.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about migraine headaches. Is that a typical word picture that she drew of an aura? You know, parts of whatever you're seeing are missing?
It really is. Only about, as I mentioned before, only about 15% of people will get an aura before their migraine. Those people are really, those are helpful because if they can actually take something during the aura, they can actually abort the headache altogether. Unfortunately, because only about 15% of people get that, you can't treat everybody that way. It's amazing. Some people will get everybody's aura is a little bit different, but the most common one is a C-shaped piece of cracked glass. Interesting. You can go on YouTube and people have drawn their auras or tried to simulate their auras, and it's amazing what people will be seeing. Children have very interesting auras. They drawn pictures of their auras, and they'll show black polka dots coming toward them, and they're very frightened by their auras because it's like a monster to them, and then they'll have the headache, and so it's something very frightening for them.
So this is different from what eye doctors describe as a floater. I mean, very different, sounds like.
Yes, it is.
And I could see how you could mistake it for, I'm wondering if I'm having a stroke.
Absolutely, especially in an older patient. And sometimes if you get in that in the ages of 50 or 60 for someone who's at risk for a stroke, then you really have to be very hypervigilant and make sure that you're not dealing with that. And more MRIs and CAT scans have been done for that reason, but you just have to be sure.
But you could possibly be having a stroke then. I mean, those symptoms would be similar?
They could be, though you'd expect some other symptoms besides just the aura. You'd expect some weakness on one side of the face, an arm or a leg, more difficulty speaking. But a complex migraine could be very similar to a stroke, so you always have to be aware. If someone has underlying medical problems that would increase their risk of having a stroke as well, then you would probably work that patient up differently than a young person who had no risk factors for stroke.
Now, this last caller had said she had had migraines earlier in life, but now was just having the auras, and after the auras, that would be it. No more migraines. Is that unusual, or is that pretty different from usual?
That's fairly common. One thing I did want to mention that's very common is that one particular food can cause that, and that is NutraSweet. Aspartame is very, very common for causing ophthalmological migraines. There are other foods that do that, but it's really common. And that's one thing I always try to recommend to my patients to get out of their diets is non-nutritive sweeteners. It's a very common cause. My mother had ophthalmologic migraines, and she got them from NutraSweet. Once she cut that out of her diet, they went away. And that's a real common cause of migraines, period, but ophthalmologic migraines specifically.
So if you're prone to migraines, headaches, things of that sort, natural sweeteners are better for you.
Absolutely.
Even though you might get calories.
Well, that's true. Absolutely.
Just exercise a little harder.
Yep. There you go, and that helps migraines too.
Yeah, well, that's right. You said that in the beginning of the program. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about migraine headaches. We're talking about headaches. We're talking about the pain that those are causing. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be back, and we'll take some more phone calls. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Get on the phone quickly. Dr. Pamela Singer is with us from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. 893-1450. And when we get back, we'll tell you how to locate Dr. Singer's office. Which one of the Murfreesboro Medical Clinics is she located in? We'll be right back.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan.
The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASE-certified technicians get your car road-ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
WeatherEye.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high temperature of 87 degrees. Winds on the north, 5 to 10. For tonight, we'll see clear skies, temperatures dropping back towards 62 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 72.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
WGNS Murfreesboro is true blue. Blue Raiders Sports on WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
I can't keep my eyes off of you.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about migraine headaches this morning. Dr. Pamela Singer is with us from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Dr. Singer. How are you today?
Just fine.
Good.
I have a family member who is a preteen, had a severe migraine. Is this a hormonal balance because of her being a preteen?
Well, without more information, that's hard to say, but is there a family history of migraine headaches?
None.
No one in the family has headaches at all?
No.
And how often is she having headaches?
About every month or so.
Okay.
Her family took her to the emergency room. They done a CT scan on her. They even done a spinal tap on her and ended up just giving her medication, to alleviate it, even though the previous medication she had taken just seemed like it escalated the cause.
Hmm. Okay. And how old is she?
Just 12.
She's 12? Okay. Well, certainly at age 12, a child might be premenarchal or about to start having periods, and so that certainly could be the case. And the fact that she's having one, about one a month, does sound like that, certainly. But if she's not getting good relief from her headaches with just over-the-counter medications, it sounds like it might be time to get some professional help. Either if she's already seeing her physician and not getting better, then it might be time to seek help from a pediatric neurologist.
Okay.
If she's not improving.
Appreciate your time.
You're
have
welcome.
A great
day. You too.
Let's ask first, where are you located? There are two Murfreesboro medical clinics. Are you on Highland or are you at the new location?
Well, I'm on Highland, and hopefully by 2013 we'll all be together at the new location on Garrison Drive.
Yes. Okay, so now they find you on Highland. Easy
yes.
to locate that. And can you call and make an appointment, or do you have to have another physician refer them?
Oh, no. Call and make an appointment.
Okay. And what is the phone number?
893-4480.
So if you are suffering from a migraine headache or a headache and you don't know whether it's a migraine or not, you're just uncomfortable, Dr. Singer can help you, hopefully can help you, but at least you'll be doing something about it.
I'll do my best. And don't forget our wonderful neurology department as well. We have two fine neurologists, Dr. John Witt and Dr. Javier Valero for other neurologic problems as well, but they also do an excellent job treating migraines. And when I have more difficult hot migraine patients, those are my go-to folks.
Now, people look at the internet so much these days. Is that a good thing to look at? People do self-diagnosis. Not many people have their medical degrees, but they give their own diagnosis and determine whether or not they're going to do something about it. What are your thoughts on that? And maybe you can direct us in some good ways.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Bart, because there are a couple of really good websites where patients can go to download migraine diaries, to diary their headaches, tools for management of their headaches, and also some questionnaires to help them talk with their doctors about their headaches. The American Headache Society at www.achenet.org. And the National Headache Foundation at www.headaches.org. Those have incredibly good information for both a patient and clinician, and I have found them incredible resources.
Well, the part about being able to download how to do a diary.
Yes, it's really good.
If you don't know how to do that, where do I start? And that'll give you a starting point. So that makes a lot of sense. But I guess the main thing is if you're having these problems, don't get in the bed and hope it goes away. Try to do something about it, because as Dr. Singer had said earlier, if you diagnose this early enough and treat it early enough, you might be able to get it to away at least, or maintain it anyway.
Certainly get a lot better. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately am a migraine patient myself, and I am guilty of not treating my migraines early, and there's no question the earlier you treat your headaches, the more likely you are for them to go away more quickly and also not develop a chronic daily headache as well.
Since you have migraines yourself, is that what motivated you to get into this practice of medicine?
Absolutely. I was diagnosed with migraines several years ago, and then I was very blessed to several years ago be seen by world-famous migraine specialist Jan Brandis. I saw her for about a year, and I learned a lot from her, and she taught me a lot about migraine headaches and treating migraine headaches. And since then, I've kind of been on my soapbox about treating migraines and treating headache patients. I certainly don't know everything about migraines, but I have learned a lot, and I try to share that information with my patients. I do a headache school periodically. There'll be one coming up, so go to wwmmclinic.com and look at our calendar events. There'll be another headache school coming up soon.
Okay, www.mmclinic.com. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, do men or women have more headaches or migraines, or is it equally dispersed?
It's not. Women have more headaches than men, though men do have migraines.
Wonder why. I mean, why do women have more headaches?
It probably has more to do with the hormonal part of it, mm-hmm. though, and certainly the caller who asked earlier about is it hormonal, certainly as women go through menopause, they'll have another spike in their headaches, but then once they get past menopause, they do seem to have fewer headaches. Men have more different types of headaches. They may have more cluster headaches, which is a different type of a headache, but they do get migraines, and they'll have different triggers, perhaps more alcohol, more cheese, those kinds of things. But there's always that genetic predisposition, which is why I always ask that question.
When people, at least people I've seen who've had headaches, they will often put a wet pack around their neck or ice, and some of them put a heat pad. Do any of those things work?
Well, it just feels good sometimes. Okay. I think because there's a lot of neck pain associated with migraine headaches, I think that's why people will have a tendency to do those things. Anything that makes people more comfortable, they're going to have a tendency to reach for it. Does it help the migraine specifically? No. Does it make you feel better? Probably so.
Does one help more than another? I mean, you have hot versus cold.
Ice.
Ice, okay.
Absolutely ice.
So the hot is not good, or not as good as ice would be.
Not as good as ice.
Okay. What about around your forehead, around right above the eyes, the temples?
Ice is always going to be better because we do think there is some swelling that's going on. There's a release of some sterile inflammatory fluid that is released in the head. And because it's inflammatory, you want to anti-inflammatorize it, so to speak. That's not a word, but I made it up. And so cool is always going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So exercise, get sleep. Watch what you eat. Do a diary so you'll see if there are any triggers that are any food triggers in particular. Are there other triggers other than food?
Sleep is another big trigger. The barometric pressure that I mentioned earlier.
That's right.
Those are big ones. And stress can be a trigger. And that may be related to lack of sleep, thoughts keeping you up, those kinds of things. And then, of course, there's the big cause is the genetic predisposition. And knowing that you have that, knowing that other family members may cause you to seek help earlier.
Is that something that you always realize, hey, my great aunt had this or my aunt had this? Or did people back, several generations back, did they try to hide it so you didn't notice they had this problem?
Well, I think that, Great Aunt Margaret, she always had headaches. Well, but we never put that together that it might be related to my headaches because we didn't maybe want to be like Great Aunt Margaret or whatever. But I think that we always thought that people had sinus headaches or they just had a sinus infection. But it's rare to get a headache associated with an acute sinus infection. And many people come in, well, I've got nasal drainage. Well, believe it or not, 30% of migraines will have an associated nasal congestion. And once the headache is gone, they'll get nasal drainage. But it's always clear. If you have nasal drainage that is clear, that's not a sinus infection. If you have a sinus infection, you're going to have purulent nasal drainage. You're going to have a fever. You're going to have teeth pain. So that was another point I wanted to bring up. Many people who think they have a sinus infection, it's 80% of the time that's a migraine headache, especially if it's recurrent.
So the thing it seems right now, if you think you may have a migraine, don't wait and see if it gets worse.
Exactly.
Call and set up an appointment, at least a consultation, to see if you might have some of these problems. And maybe before you do that, do a diary. And see if you have some triggers that something may just jump out at you.
Diaries are golden. When a patient walks in with a diary, that's just like a gift, because having that, a patient come in with a diary, half of the work has already been done, and that is so helpful because patients identify their triggers. I almost already know they have migraines. We can begin the work of helping them to get rid of their headaches and avoid their triggers. And many times with patients avoid their triggers, 50% of the time, they've already treated their headaches 50% of the cases.
Once again, what is your phone number at the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic?
615-893-4480.
893-4480. Dr. Pamela Singer, our guest today from the Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, and she is over on Highland at the original location. But within a year or so, we'll be everybody together in one roof.
Yes, we can't wait.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Singer. And
Thank you very much.
You've helped some folks today. I
certainly hope so.
You have a super day. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking with our Sheriff Robert Arnold. We'll be talking law and order. Hey, have a good day. In a crowded